Welcome to Lecture 14. This lecture marks the beginning of our transition towards Windows programming. Now, Windows programming may seem daunting at first, as just writing a program that displays a window that does essentially nothing requires a lot of setup code. Furthermore, you will be exposed to a lot of data types and functions that you have not seen before. The point is this: do not feel that you need to memorize everything, as there is far too much to memorize. A lot of this Windows programming is reference material. So the idea is to learn the broad concepts, and then to know where to look things up when you get stuck, such as what parameters a Windows function takes, or what a Windows data type means. On the next slide, we suggest the key place to look up Windows programming topics. In this book, we will be programming with what is called the Win32 API. API stands for Application Programming Interface. Simply put, the Win32 API is a library of functions and structures which we use to develop Windows programs. Our goal over the next several chapters is to learn how to use this API. The reason why we study Windows programming at a game development school is twofold. First, if you want to program a game to run on Windows, you will need to know some basics about Windows programming, as games are just special types of Windows programs. And second, when you make a game, you typically program tools to help you develop the game. That is, you don't just program the game directly. Often you will create a level editing tool. Then game designers and artists will use your tool to make the game levels. There are other tools you might need to make along the way as well, which will speed up production. These game tools, which will typically be of the editing type, will look a lot like regular applications in that they will require a complex GUI. So even though your first-person shooter, for example, doesn't require a lot of GUI programming, the tools which you use to develop the game will. So it's important to learn about GUI programming for its own sake. Now, one thing you will notice is that when we learn about the API, we will be learning how to use an existing code library. You might wonder how the library itself works. For example, when you call a function to draw a circle, how is that function actually drawing the circle? Such a discussion is beyond the scope of this course. We will be focusing on learning how to use the Win32 API as a tool, and skip the theory of how it works behind the scenes, unless it's necessary for our discussion. As you gain a broader experience of different programming concepts, you will slowly, over time, begin to fill in the gaps of how it probably works anyway. The primary characteristic of a Win32 application is the GUI. By GUI, we mean the graphics the user interacts with, the menus, buttons, scroll bars, etc. Instead of interacting with a console, users now interact with a GUI. The figure in box A shows an example and identifies the names given to some GUI components. We have a caption bar, a menu bar, a toolbar, a status bar, resize bars, and the client area. In box B, we identify some GUI controls which are often found on dialog forms, text boxes, edit boxes, tree controls, slider controls, combo boxes, buttons, and scroll bars. So this is just some vocabulary you need to know, which will be used throughout the rest of this book. Box C emphasizes an important point about creating a Windows program. In the past chapters, you always selected a console application, but now that we are doing Windows programming, you need to select Windows application, as the arrow points out. Box D, your first Windows program. So for our first Windows program, we will write an extremely simple program that just displays a message box. Type in and compile the code from box D to see the output. Although this example is basically pointless, it does allow us to introduce a few points in an isolated setting. First, in order to write Win32 programs, you need to include the Windows header file. This header file gives the prototypes and definitions of various functions and types you will need to program the Win32 API. Second, Win32 programs no longer start with the main function. Instead, they start with the WinMain function. WinMain returns an integer which specifies the code that is returned to the Windows operating system. The prefix WinAPI modifies the calling convention of WinMain, that is, the way in which it places items on the memory stack. Such low-level details are best left to a course in assembly language, and so we will not further discuss it here. The first parameter, hInstance of type hInstance, is essentially a value that identifies the application for Windows, an application ID, if you will, that Windows OS passes into your application when it begins. It is necessary to ID various applications because Windows can be running several different applications at once. Note that the Win32 API defines the type HInstance. The second parameter, HPrevInstance, is no longer used in 32-bit Windows programming. It is a legacy of 16-bit Windows. The third parameter, CMDLine, is a string of command-line arguments. Command-line arguments are string arguments a user can pass into an application before it starts. Command-line arguments typically give the application special instructions on how it should execute. Finally, the fourth parameter, showCMD, is an integer that specifies how the main application window should be initially shown. For example, should it be maximized, minimized, or normal? The Windows OS makes the decision based on a variety of factors. For instance, if you try to launch an application while the system is busy, Windows will pass in a value for showCMD, indicating that it perhaps be minimized. In summary, the parameters to WinMain are parameters the OS passes into the application when the application starts. Lastly, the third key idea the program illustrates is the message box function. Again, this is a function the Win32 API defines and implements. For the first parameter, we can specify null. The second parameter is where we specify the string of text we want displayed in the message box. And the third parameter is where we specify the string of text we want displayed in the message box caption. The fourth parameter is where we specify a value that denotes the kind of buttons the message box should contain. For example, you might provide OK and Cancel buttons. Here, MBOK just signifies that we want only an OK button. The textbook gives some more examples. As you will see, the message box function is a convenient function when we want to display a message to the user. For example, when the user presses the exit button for an application, you might display a message box asking if they are sure they want to exit.